The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
God, we thank you that that is what we get to celebrate this morning. Father, your goodness, your faithfulness. Lord, we are so excited to enter into a new year, but God, as we have that excitement about the things that we will change, Father, help us to remember also the things that you've been faithful in. Lord, the things that you have done. And Father, as we look forward to celebrating a new year, God, keep us mindful of the things that you have done. And God, help us to be confident in what you're going to do this year. Lord, we ask that you would just be with this service now. Father, receive all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, it is so good to see you all. I've missed you dearly. It seems weird. We've only been, like, I know we had no Wednesday night service, which, by the way, Wednesday night service is back this week. I'm just going to start out with a shameless plug for Wednesday night. We'll start out with that. All Wednesday night activities will begin this week, weather permitting. If that changes, follow us on Facebook, and we'll let you know as best we can through Facebook and emails and text messages. But Wednesday nights will be back this week, just Wednesday and one Sunday. But I started thinking about this, and I have some shocking news for y'all this morning. I'm not a typical pastor. Oh, you guys knew that already. Okay. I went the entire Christmas season, and I don't know that I really had Matthew or Luke's Christmas story as a text. And then today, when we came to this kind of, it's not an in-between, it's the start of a new year. For some reason, the text that came to my mind was the Matthew and the Luke account of the birth of Christ. And so if you're sick of it, you can't really be sick of it because we haven't done it yet in December. And so we're going to start New Year with it. But we're going to look at some things of what's next. Anybody like go through and they got to the end of 2024 and they had this thought. Oh, goodness gracious, what's next? Anybody? 2024 was just that kind of year, man, where everything just hit and it hit and it hit. And you looked at 2025, not with optimism, not with encouragement or with hope, but you looked at it and said, oh, what could be next? Or you looked at it and you said this, hey man, you know what? 2024 wasn't terrible. There were some good things that happened. There was some progress that was made. I saw some different things. And man, 2025 is going to be good. I'm excited about what's next. Everybody kind of fell into one of those two categories. You either dreaded the new year because of what's next, or you were excited about the new year because of what's next. The reality is what's next is a big deal at this point in time. Because we all are going into a new year fresh. It's a fresh start. And so far, 2025, we're, what, 5 days in? Anybody just had a bad 2025 so far? I mean, 5 days in, you're like, hey, listen, nope, not my year. No, most of us, like, it's been calm so far, right? Right? And so there's still this, it could be great, it could be bad, we're not really sure, but whatever's next is a big deal. And so as we look at what's next, what I want to do is I want to go back and I want to look at the Christmas story. And I want to look at some things that regardless of what your 2024 was like, these are things that I saw in you as a church, that I saw in my life as a follower of Christ. And I want to challenge us to continue these things in 2025. It's funny, we always talk about New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the new year. How many of you have something that you say, you know what, I did this last year and I want to do it again this year? I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I've been working out a little bit. I closed my move ring for the entire month of December on my phone. Thank you, Apple. No, but like I did. I started doing a little bit of at-home workout program, and I'm like, you know what? I really like that. I want to continue that in 2025. And so many times we look at what we want to start doing, but we never look at what we want to continue doing from the last year. And so my challenge for you this morning is, hey, listen, regardless of what 2024 held for you, find some of the good things that were a part of it, and those are the things that you want to take into the new year. And some of those things we're going to look at from the Christmas story this morning. Our text is in your notes or it's in your Bibles. We're going to start out in Luke chapter 2, and I'm not going to read all of it for time's sake, but I wonder this morning, how many of us would continue in the curiosity of the shepherds? When you look at the birth story of Jesus, the shepherds have angels come to them. And I think in verse number 8, Miles, if you got it on the screens, I'm not sure. The next slide, man. They continue in the curiosity of the shepherds. Oh, no. You got it in the next one? What's the next one say? There it is. All right. When the angels left them, they got into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in a manger. That's a verse we're all familiar with, but what causes these shepherds to go? Curiosity. It's hey, listen, let's go see this thing. They're not sure what they're going to find. They're not sure what the manger is going to look like. They're not going to sure why a king is in a manger. They're not sure why a baby is being celebrated before he's not at the palace or anything like that. None of this makes any sense to them, but their curiosity is piqued because angels announced it to them. And so the idea is, hey, listen, let's go and see. I'm curious as to what this is all about. But for you and I, curiosity in our Christian life is this. It's wonder and amazement at God. Now, as I say that, I wonder how many of us have lost our curiosity when it comes to God. You know? How many of you came in these doors or these doors or these doors this morning? You sat in your seat because that's the only seat that God can talk to you in. And you thought, man, this service, this is gonna change my life, Rocky. Whatever God has for me in His Word today is gonna completely change my life. How many of you thought that? My alarm went off. Well, my one alarm went off at 1:30 this morning. I have four alarms that are not on my phone. My one alarm went off at 1:30 this morning. My next alarm went off, and I got up, and I went in, and I started my routine. And as I was going through my routine, I caught myself thinking, it's Sunday. What things do I have to do on Sunday? And I lost the wonder of, I wonder what God's doing this morning. I wonder whose hearts God is working in. As I'm up and I'm getting myself ready, I wonder who God is preparing and prepping and saying, hey, listen, somebody's going to come in today and their heart, their life, their entire eternity is going to be changed because of this time right now. Amen. I wonder how many of us have lost the wonder of what God can do in our life because we have one of two thoughts. I know how God works, or I don't want to really do anything different. See, the shepherds went out of simple curiosity. And so this morning, I want to challenge you as we step into 2025. Keep that wonder. Keep that curiosity that causes you to take risks, causes you to explore, causes you to investigate, and causes you to seek answers. Listen, man, that curiosity never needs to leave. The curiosity of the shepherds needs to be a part of you and I's everyday life from now all the way through the new year. Because they left their sheep to go see this. That's not a smart move if you're a shepherd. Sheep are known for being stupid and wandering off. And so you're going to leave all of them to go see something. But you know what? It was a risk. Whatever was on the other side of this was worth the risk. Whatever God calls you to do in 2025, it may involve risk. And what I want you to go into 2025 with the mentality of it is, if this is a risk, I'm willing to take it. Because whatever's on the other side is worth it. Continuing the curiosity of the shepherds as an individual, as a church, don't lose that sense of curiosity. Don't lose that sense of wonder and amazement at what God can do in your life. The other thing about the shepherds is not just their curiosity, but their worship. Continue in the curiosity and the worship of the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, you find this phrase, or 17, it says this, sorry. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, what had been told them about this child. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They continue in worship. Here's what's so cool about this. Whether you realize it or not, What happens when we're curious and we take risk? What happens? We grow. We learn, right? All of a sudden, we start to trust God's faithfulness. Because as we risk, God proves that last phrase right there, just as it had been told. It says that everything that God told them is exactly how they found it. And so that risk all of a sudden became faith in their life. And they said, man, we risked this because we didn't know what we were going to find. But God proved exactly who He said He was going to be. And that emboldened them and that empowered them to where they went on and they told everybody they knew, hey, listen, you won't believe. God told us stuff that we never could have even imagined. It's the idea that as you and I take that curiosity and we take risk and we start to push ourselves out of what we're comfortable doing in our Christian life, we get to see God's faithfulness. And as we get to see God's faithfulness, what do we do in return? And we worship Him. God, I'm so thankful you let me see things that I never thought imaginable. God, I'm so thankful that you let me be a part of this. God, I'm so thankful that you are faithful, that you are true, that you are exactly who you say you are. God, you do exactly what you say you're going to do. Man, listen, when you and I, if you never live a life of risk and curiosity as a Christian, guess what? You will never find out how faithful and good God can be. Because God will be limited to what you can conceive instead of who He actually is. Continue that curiosity, but that curiosity breeds worship. Now, this worship isn't just a time in here where Rocky sings and the choir. Beautiful job this morning, choir. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, so much. Worship was awesome. And listen, it was a taste. Because we're going to do something at the end of service, and I know I'm watching weather, I'm watching time, but Rocky has a song for our invitation, and I am so excited about it. We're going to sing the whole song because there's. I just want you to be a part of that. But worship isn't a song. It's not a time. Worship is a lifestyle. When you see this happen, it changes who the shepherds are. They go back differently. They go back worshiping. They go back praising God. They go back telling everybody. Because here's what happened. It was authentic. It happened to them. Listen, if your faith this morning, if your curiosity this morning seems dead, it may be because you're living on someone else's faith and it's never become authentic and true to you. And so you're living off of stories from somebody else. For a long point in time in my life, I lived off the story of my parents, off the story of my grandparents. My grandfather was a man of great faith. My dad was a man of great faith. When I was 7 years old, he packed our family up in a U-Haul truck and we drove from Florida to Fort Worth, Texas, and lived in, man, we had like drive-by shootings across the street from us and stuff. And we lived in this because that was my dad's step of faith to become a pastor. And I lived on those stories of like, yeah, I went with my family to seminary. I didn't do anything. I was seven. I was a baby. I was in front of the family. I went wherever they told me to go because that's what I did. But see, it never became mine until I started taking steps of faith of my own. And then my story stopped being about what my dad had done, what my grandpa had done, and they became about, hey, listen, this is what I did because this is what I felt God calling me to do. That kind of curiosity, that kind of faith, and that kind of worship changes you. And it's personal, and it's authentic, and it changes everything, and it infiltrates your life. And you can't help but spill out all the things that God's done in your life, not what you watch God do to other people, but what He's done for you personally. Man, may 2025 be filled with stories of what God has done, and may your worship overflow, not just in here during certain times, but when you're at Dollar General, when you're at Walmart, when you're at the Mexican restaurant this afternoon. May your life spill with stories of this is what God has done in my life. Continue in the curiosity and the worship of the shepherds. There's some other men there as well. In Matthew's account, you find about the wise men. So I want to encourage you this morning to continue in the dedication of the wise men. Matthew 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, say this. Sorry, you're going to continue in the dedication of the wise men. And then I realized this morning I didn't print my scriptures in my notes. So they're on the screens for you guys. Chapter 2, there it is, 1 through 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, right off the bat, there's some dedication, right? These guys have decided that, hey, listen, there's this star, there's this king that's been born, we want to go and we want to worship him. And so they come with some element, some form of dedication. But we don't understand how deep their dedication is until you read down in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 16. Verse number 2:16 tells you this, that Herod, when he finds out he's been tricked, or realizes that he's been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all boys in Bethlehem in the vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that they learned from the Magi. You know what that tells me and you? This was a 2-year process in their life. Can you imagine what our churches would be like if we were dedicated to things for 2 years? Can you imagine what your spiritual life would look like if you were dedicated to things for at least 2 years? Most of us do this, right? Most of us read our Bible for like 5 days in a row. And we expect that everything is going to be perfect and we're going to have all answers. And God's omnipotence is just going to shine through us, right? And when it doesn't happen, I don't really want to read my Bible today. We come to church regularly for a little while, but then when things don't work out, or when it gets busy, or when it's rainy, or when it's something like that, we kind of step back and say, you know, going to church hasn't panned out the way I kind of wanted it to. I'm not going to go every week. I'll kind of go eventually. Or we serve one time, and it's not what we thought we were going to do, and so we stop serving in church, or we stop being involved in church. Can you imagine what a 2-year day? Listen, you know what one of the most heartbreaking things for me was going into ministry? When I realized that the average time of a youth pastor at a church, which is where I started out, 6 months. They're in a church for 6 months. Man, I can't even order tacos for 6 months and find a good method. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you gotta be kidding me. I said, well, pastors, surely pastors are different. You know the average time for a pastor? A year and a half to 3 years. And as I read these pastors who get frustrated with their churches, I realize it's not so much the church, it's a lack of dedication on the pastor's part. To say, listen, you know what? I'm going to stick with this when things aren't easy. I'm going to stick with this when it's not good. I'm going to stick with this through the troublesome times. I'm going to stick with this because I'm dedicated. Because this means something to me. I'll never forget, man, there was a time in my life when Kelsey and I had just gotten married. I was a student pastor at a church, and our interim pastor came to me and he said, hey, listen, you've got to get out of this church or it's going to kill you and your wife. Okay, I don't know if that was a threat or what. I was like, oh, okay. So we kind of like got nervous and we started putting our resume out and trying different places. And we went and we interviewed with a church that was close to mom and dad. And I thought, man, this is going to be it. This is a good fit. They had a job for Kelsey. They had a job for me. It was close to family. We knew people there. It was like, this is awesome. And they called me and said, hey, listen, you didn't get the job. Oh, all right. Well, cool. We're back to the drawing board. And I'll never forget, I had a relative come to me and they say, hey, listen, have you thought that maybe ministry is not for you? I don't know if that's a personal attack again or what, you know? So I started thinking about it, and he said, I've talked to some people, and I've got this job working in concrete and tile lined up for you, and you can come work this job, and you can come do this, and we'll take care of everything. And I said, you've got my whole life planned for me. That's wonderful. But what's not in ministry? And he goes, well, you could volunteer in ministry. And I said, that's great, man. I believe in volunteering in ministry, but I also know that God's called me to do this. This is my calling. This is my life. This is what I want to give everything I have to. And I said, yeah, but nothing's working out for you. And I'll never forget, Kelsey and I sat and we said, all right, do we need to consider this? Do I need to go be a construction worker for a while and kind of reset and figure things out? Because maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to do. But there was this thing inside me that said, no, you don't give up when things get tough. You don't give up when things get hard. And I was brought back to a time, and man, I'll forever, never forget this. I was super young in ministry. I think I'd just gotten done in my first church. And I was in between my first church and my second church. And it was a dark time in the ministry, in my life. And I had like all this stuff that I would read God's word and I was like, I need to be involved in doing something. And I couldn't find a place to serve for like about a 6 month period. And during that 6 months, what I would do is I would go up to my dad's church late at night when nobody was there. And I would take my Bible and I would preach to nobody. Nobody really wanted to listen to me, so it worked out well because there was nobody there. And I remember being in that situation and looking out one time and thinking, man, it's not always going to be like this. One day you're going to get to share from God's word with God's people what they can do to take their next steps of faith. And I thought, okay, cool. Well, then the next church I went to, I really didn't get that opportunity. I got to do recreation ministry, which is cool. I got paid to play sports. I'm a professional athlete, apparently, for that time. And I got pockets where I got to share, but it wasn't really like a big thing. And then the next place I went, and it wasn't even good at all there. And the next place I went, it was even less, and I got to share even less what God was doing. Can I tell you that for 20 years I've been waiting on this moment right now? For 20 years I've been waiting to sit and say, listen, this is what God's telling me, and here's what you can do for your next step of faith in your life. And I think about all the times I wanted to, and I should have, and I probably, if I was just using logic, should have given up. But I said, no, man, listen, it's about dedication. I'm dedicated to what God has called me to do, and I'm going to see it through. Listen, I know that was a long rant, but church, we've got to continue in the dedication of these wise men who stuck with something for 2 years, who saw it through, who when the journey got difficult, the road got long, everything did not go their way, they remembered their dedication. And they remember what they were called to go do. These men could have gone on another task. They could have sought out other royalty that was more fitting for their position. But they didn't. They stayed dedicated to what God had called them to do. Another thing the wise men did is we need to continue in the giving of the wise men. You find in Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 where they bring their gifts to Jesus. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they lay them down at the feet of a child. Now, these gifts are unique and interesting because, for one, we don't know that there were necessarily three wise men. We always assume because there were three gifts, there were three wise men. But it made me wonder, as they continued in their giving, I wonder which one of them was that walked into this lowly carpenter's shop, saw this little runt boy playing with sticks of wood on the floor, and thought, I'm going to keep my myrrh for me. Like, we passed the nice restaurant back there. This myrrh could buy some pretty good food. This kid ain't need myrrh. He can't even spell myrrh. He doesn't even know what to do with myrrh. Why am I going to give him myrrh? I wonder how many times they thought through that decision of giving those expensive, extravagant gifts to this little 2-year-old boy. How many of you parents just got done with Christmas? And you say, you know what? The Walmart version of this doll is a lot better because when they break it in 2 months, no big deal, and I don't have to pay top dollar for it. Anybody? What happens when you give a 2-year-old a toy? They're going to break it, and they're going to destroy it, and it's going to be useless. That never crossed these wise men's mind. They gave their absolute best because of who they believed he was. Church, this morning, I wonder if you need to continue 2025 giving your absolute best to God. Listen, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be that we can't think of other things that we could do with those gifts. But I wonder if you just are willing to say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to continue to give like God has called me to give. What he'll do in your life and what he'll do through those gifts. As you look at that, these gifts were extravagant, but they gave this uncommon king the best they had. I wonder how many of us this morning can continue that into 2025. As we give our time, as we give our tithe, as we give our effort, our energy, whatever it is that you give to God this year, I pray that it would be your absolute best, that you continue in the giving spirit of the wise men. There are two more people in this story we have to talk about. We have to talk about Mary and Joseph because they kind of were a big deal. So I pray that in 2025, you'll continue in the obedience of Mary and Joseph. Chapter Matthew chapter 1, verse 25 specifically, it talks about this. It talks about how the angel comes and tells them when Joseph woke, he did exactly as the angel had the Lord commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Now, at the end of it, this is the end of the angel coming to Mary, or coming to Joseph and telling Joseph, "Hey, listen, Joseph, don't divorce her. Mary's with a child, but the child is from the Holy Spirit. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to let her give birth as a virgin." Now, I'm not going to get crude, I'm not going to get graphic, and we're not going to get too far into this because there are kids here this morning. Y'all realize they got married, and then he never touched her until after the birth of Jesus. You know why? So she could give birth as a virgin. It's obedience. See, listen, obedience is real simple. When God tells us to do something, sometimes we have this option of saying yes or no. But when God says, "Hey, listen, I want you to not do this until. Hey, I want you to refrain from this. I want you to abstain from this. I want you to not do this." It becomes a lot harder to be obedient, doesn't it? Joseph, me? Listen, I put a ring on it. We can do it. All's good, God. No, not until after she gives birth. It's the step of obedience that so many times we overlook. But listen, the obedience of Mary and Joseph to continue on in what God had called them to do so that who Jesus was could be exactly who he needed to be. Listen, that's some dedication. That's some obedience. That's some stick-with-itness. Not just that. There's one other phrase here. What name did they give him? Not a trick question. Jesus, there we go. Okay. You ever think, how many of you had an easy time picking baby names? We couldn't leave the hospital with Evie because they wouldn't let us leave with her name being Sister Baby. I thought it was a perfectly fitting name. I wonder if at some point in time Mary and Joseph, you know, Jesus really isn't trending this year. What if we name him Joseph Jr.? JJ. We can name him Mark, possibly. John's kind of like Jesus. They're close. So, you know, maybe we can come. I don't know that Jesus, he doesn't look like a Jesus, Joseph. Don't realize that's even down to his very name is obedience. They never questioned the name they were supposed to give him because the name they were told to give him came from God. And that little phrase, "they gave him the name Jesus," tells you and I this. Mary and Joseph were obedient down to the smallest detail. In 2025, I want to encourage you and challenge you to be obedient down to the smallest detail. Don't look for corners to cut. Don't look for shortcuts. Don't look for ways out of doing things that God has called you to do. Instead, hey, say, "Listen, God, I'm going to be obedient down to the smallest of details to what you call me to do." The second thing that we have to continue in of Mary and Joseph is their faith. These two things kind of go hand in hand, obedience and faith. When you read Luke's account of the gospel of this first story, verse 37 sticks out to me. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. The angels just come and told Mary all the things that's going to happen and all that's going to take place. And Mary says, "How in the world can this even B, I've never been with a man. How can I be pregnant? How you don't understand what this does to my life?" And the angel says one phrase to her. "Nothing's impossible with God." Amen. Now, you say, "Well, how is that faith?" Because of Mary's response. "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done according to your word." If I had been Mary, nothing's impossible with God. Yeah, I know that's very true. So if that's the case, then why doesn't God just give me a playbook? Just send me a book that tells me how to raise a kid that is not my husband's, but is my husband's, and how this is going to look. If God can just give me a playbook of what the next 30-some-odd years of my life are going to look like, I'll, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. And listen, God, if you can go and if you can visit my mom and dad and Joseph's mom and dad and our extended family and share with them the same thing that you shared with me, that way they would know that we're telling the truth and that we can be believed and everything's good and everything's above board and all is good. If you could just go and you could just share with them, that'd be great. That's not what she says. The angel says, nothing's impossible. And she says, okay, I'm game. Morris Ford Baptist Church, 2025. Nothing is impossible with God. You know what's going to limit what God can do here? Me and you. When we start to stop saying, hey God, listen, whatever you want to do, we're on board. And we start looking at the logistics, and we start looking at the playbook, and we start looking at all the different things and the reasons we can't do what God's calling us to do. We're the only ones who limit what God can do. Because what that verse tells me is nothing is impossible with God. So I pray that as a church, as an individual, we would continue in that obedience and that faith to say, God, if nothing is impossible, then wherever you call us, we're willing to go. I don't exactly have a lot of clue as to what's next in 2025. I wish I could get up here and I could tell you what the next 6 weeks will hold. Listen, I wish I could tell you what the next 6 days will hold. But I don't know. But I know this. If you and I continue into 2025 with curiosity and worship as a part of our lifestyle, it's going to be good. If you and I continue with dedication and giving and saying, hey, listen, God, this is our absolute best and we're not going to stop, regardless of what obstacle, how difficult, or whatever may come, we're going to continue on this journey that you've called us on. It's going to be good. Listen, church, I don't know what 2025 is going to hold, but I know this. When you and I take that step and say, God, I'm going to be obedient with this. I'm going to be obedient with this. I'm going to be obedient down to the smallest of details, God. And I'm going to trust you that you can do whatever you want. 2025 is going to be the absolute best year of your life. The best year of this church's life. And you will sit back at the end of 2025 and you will be so excited because of what God has done and what he's going to continue to do in 2026. This morning, Rocky's going to come and he's going to sing a song, and I encourage you to sing with it. This morning, I want you just to spend some time in worship. If there's a decision on your heart, if there's something you need to come and you need to pray about at the altar, it's open and you need to do business with God. But my challenge and my encouragement for you is this. Hey, listen, what's next? Find those good things from 2024. Dedicate and commit. You're going to make them a part of 2025. God, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for verses that are Christmas verses, but God, they mean so much more than just a Christmas story. God, they're indicators, they're keys as to what we can do to make this year the absolute best. And Father, that's my prayer. My prayer for every individual, for every family. Lord, for this fellowship is that 2025 would be our absolute best. Because God, all the things that I've seen them do over the past 3 years, we would continue to do in greater proportions in the next year for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that during this time of invitation, you would cause us to be obedient to whatever you're calling us to do. Father, that with those small steps of obedience, we would learn what it means to live a life of faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.